On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
In for Leeson shorthanded. Leeson, look out! Enough had him lined up and just missed
it. It's
him.
A double Dion!
Now the defenseman falls. Here comes Crosby, and Crosby and Rod Kuzentz on the same rebound. Perry for Bergeron scores! It's a beauty, and it's a 4-1 lead.
Schrader intercepts. And Reams back, looks in front. Wilson, all alone in front. Backhand shot! Oh my gosh! Unbelievable by Tokarski! He took that right away, a sure goal! Tokarski says, oh no, you don't! Wow!
Ellis knocks it down. They battle on the wall for it. Ellis in there as well. Boychuk looking for it. Tavares pulls it out. Tavares backhand towards the goal. Loose puck, and he scores! Tie game! Can you believe it?
I can, because of the fact that Kulikin iced the puck. And look at the Russian body language now. They're crushed. Tavares had to step up and make a magical play. The crowd loves it. Tavares' magical play.
In comes Tavares. Walks in. Lee scores. Tavares again. Canada's back in it. And in comes Tave. Tave. Shoot scores. Tave to give Canada the lead. In comes Tave. Shoot scores. He's 2-for-2 in the shootout. In he comes again. The moon scores.
Woo!
In comes Mueller.
Fuck yeah. I'm ready to do this thing, man.
Yeah, you're feeling it, aren't you?
That kind of stuff gets me all fired up. Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome to Tall Can Audio's Christmas Eve tradition, our Tall Can Sports preview of the World Junior Hockey Championship. Rob's over there.
Hey.
He's less fired up than I am.
A tradition unlike any other.
That's fucking for sure. You can give us a follow on Twitter at Tall Can Audio, and actually be awesome if you wanted to send in some of your favorite World Junior memories, and we'll retweet some of that kind of stuff. You can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. We're doing the Instagram thing at Tall Can Audio. All kinds of great stuff going on. It is Christmas Eve. We are happy to be with you as you maybe get some last-minute wrapping done or are commuting to whatever godforsaken family ordeal you're about to be put through.
Where you're going to go and hide in the bathroom.
That usually happens. Maybe Boxing Day or whatever. I know you've said on a recent episode, you got one night for the family and friends. I need to see is one time.
Yep.
And
hey, load it up. Get all you can in this one sitting.
This is all the Rob you need.
This is it. Well, and I don't mind that. Rob needs. And I don't mind that because this is all I can get of you or need of you.
Right.
Not you.
No.
But yeah,
you.
For the person in the story. Yeah, so hey, I don't mind if you can only handle one evening of me. I can only handle one evening of you two. So do it.
Yeah.
Get it going.
We are just two sleeps away from the World Junior Hockey Championship taking place this year in Vancouver and Victoria. Has not been there since 2006. That was
Luc Bourdon.
Yeah, Jonathan Toews, Andrew Cogliano, Justin Pogge. That was a year that Canada wasn't really expected to do a whole lot. I also think Mark Stahl was on that team. That was sort of a, you know, we'd had the huge run the year before in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and had that whole loaded up team from the NHL lockout.
The 05 team.
Right. Yeah. And so there was sort of this, all the big names are gone. You know, most of these guys no one had ever heard of, and let alone they steamrolled that tournament. Any memories of the last time this was in Vancouver?
Well, that gold medal game, I think that was, Malkin was in that tournament,
That's right.
Eh? Yep. And he left the gold medal game.
As did Ovechkin the year before.
And did not return.
Yep.
Just got beat down. Beat down. And that's my memory. I want to say 6-1 was the final. That's totally off the top of my head. But yeah, just the, that was sort of the height of, yeah, we're going to bring whatever we have, we're going to bring the Canadian forecheck.
Yeah.
And we're going to lay heavy body on you and until you can't play anymore. And that's the absolute embodiment of that 06 tournament in Vancouver.
That was absolutely as physical a Canadian team as I had ever seen. And I have a vivid memory of Ryan O'Meara taking like a 160-foot run at Evgeny Malkin and not getting penalized for it. And that's going to be different. I want to talk to you in just a little bit about some rule changes that are being made. This will be the first tournament we see them, which could make this a little bit different. A lot of talk going into the tournament over the last couple of years about the oversaturation of the Southern Ontario market. We had done Toronto splitting it with Montreal. We had done Montreal splitting it with Toronto. And then we did Buffalo, which was also going to draw heavily on Southern Ontario.
Right. Not too long after having done Buffalo before.
Right.
Like what, 5, 6, 7
yeah,
years
that was
before
in 2011.
Okay.
Right. So yeah, then 13 and 15. It was getting a bit much. The Toronto market, somewhat unrelated, but it also had a couple of deep Blue Jay runs. It also had the World Cup of hockey.
Yep.
Things were starting to get maybe a little tapped out. And there was a bit of talk that maybe the World Junior thing had lost its way a little bit. And I think that's still a valid conversation in terms of being out of junior markets in favor of bigger cities. But Vancouver has taken this thing and run with it, right? And tickets in terms of big packages and all that. Oh, the big package. They've taken this and they have run with it. They are largely sold out. They are jacked and ready to do this.
Well, they're loving not only having Canada there, they're loving the Hughes brothers.
Yeah, Team USA will be based in Victoria. Quint Hughes, a draft pick of the Vancouver Canucks, he will play on Team USA. And Jack Hughes, his brother, the presumed number one overall pick coming up in this year's draft.
We'll be playing together.
Yep. Early in the season, a lot of people would have projected Vancouver to be right in the mix to possibly get him.
I certainly did.
Yeah, so did I. And they could...
They will
end up still at the end of the season being in the running for that, but right now playing a little bit better. But you're right, they're jacked for Jack.
Well, and they were saying that in the summertime when they ran, whether it was in Kamloops or Kelowna, one of the two, the summer tournament that was out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the interest in the USA squad almost rivaled the Canadian just due to you have the big, new, shiny draft pick. And then what looked to be, as you said, so yeah, there was drawing lots of attention to the USA games.
So they will be based in Victoria. They're in a pool along with the Swedes and the Finns. Canada is in a pool with Russia. There are 5 powerhouses every year at this event. So every year there's one pool that's kind of the pool of death that gets three of them. And the other one ends up with 2. So this year, Canada and Russia are really the 2 big powerhouses in their pool. They will meet on New Year's Eve as kind of they always do that big.
Yep. You know. And I like that it's back and it's going to be indoors and it's going to be in the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. They open with the Danes, followed by the Swedes, followed by the Czechs.
Not the Swedes.
Swiss. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. So to me, it's a nice build through the tournament. The flip side to that for me is, for a team that is really unsure what they're going to do with their goaltending, right? With Mikey DiPietro and is it Ian Scott?
Ian Scott, yep. So Mikey DiPietro, a Canucks draft pick, currently playing for the 67s. Ian Scott, a Leafs draft pick, currently playing for Prince Albert.
Who's killing it in the Western League.
Yeah, two regulation losses in the first half of the season.
Yeah, that the idea that I think DiPietro was a late cut last year.
Yeah.
They took him to the Senior World Championships to sort of say, you know, hey, yeah, I think you're our guy. We like the cut of your jib.
Right.
But yeah, as you say, Scott and Prince Albert killing it this year. And you are left in a spot where the Czechs have Zadina back, and they also have, I can't remember who else was
Martin Kaut just sent back from Colorado.
So you do have a couple guys coming back, but it's still not, I don't think, a huge threat. It's going to come down to you're going to have the Russia game, and then you're going to have to kick it into the win and you're in, lose and you go home games. And if you're not completely set on who your goalie is.
Yeah. Well, so this is interesting, and I don't bring it up to be a dick, but last year, Canada, I went back and I listened to our preview show last year just to, you know, is there anything here we should do again or not do?
Yep.
You had said they kicked off on Boxing Day last year against Finland, and you much preferred that.
Yeah,
and that, I had Finland and the United States in our pool. Start heavy, see what you got right away, and then get into it, you know, work your way through up and down with the good and the bad. This is back to what typically happens, to be honest, when Canada hosts, right? We set it up with the gradual, and that's what I prefer.
Well,
I'd like to see it get gradually tougher as you go.
Well, see, you're not being a dick, because that is how I feel. I still feel the same way.
Sorry, you just had pointed out that you liked it a minute ago. You said you liked it, that this was going to kind of ramp up.
No, I didn't. Because I'm talking about you end up with the spot where you go, yeah, if I'm not happy with my goaltending, I'm saying I'd rather have a couple of stiffer tests.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd be fine being in the pool that has three good teams as opposed to two. But even in that scenario, I'm happy to start with a Kazakhstan or a Denmark.
And that's all I'm saying is, yeah, so to me, I still agree with that. I'd rather open with the Finland and then go, okay, we've been tested and it didn't work with DiPietro or it didn't work with Scott. We want to sort of go the other way, and we still have that Russian game in our back pocket where we can try it again. You go, no, I got to go in a different direction. So, no, I still agree with that.
So we have both a little bit of background in coaching. What is more important to you going into a short tournament like this? I think most people would, well, first of all of Ontario is saying DiPietro, clear-cut starter, that's your guy. All of the Dub is saying, oh, how do you not go with Ian Scott? He's been dominating out here. So that's a whatever. I think most people would agree that long-term...
Well, because also with noting, DiPietro won the Memorial Cup last year with...
And goalie of the year, yeah. And like...
So it's not just like, ooh...
No, and that's the point I'm about to make, is okay. That in a big, you know, overarching career versus career, Mikey DiPietro is your guy. Ian Scott is the hot hand, who thus far has been dominant. Last year at this time, he had a sub 900 save percentage and above 3 goals against average. This year, he's 27-2-0, I believe, with a 164 goals against average and a 946 save percentage. So he's the hot guy right now.
Do you off the top?
They're both going to get. Sorry, man. I'm just teeing this up. They're both got a start in the pre-tournament games to get a look. Does it matter to you? Do you want to go with the guy with the long resume or the guy who's firing right now?
Well, and where I was going with that was, did you happen to notice, and I don't know, completely ignorant, in terms of Prince Albert, is he facing a lot of rubber or not a lot of rubber?
I don't have like his shots against or whatever, but a 946.
See, because
the goals against average gets way easier if you're not seeing a lot of rubber. The 946 stands for itself, no matter how many shots.
For sure. And really, this is what I'm saying. But the difference is, if you look at DiPietro in the first game, the exhibition game against the Swiss.
Yeah.
He allowed 3 goals on 10 shots.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm saying is.
One of them being a major gaffe by a defenseman in front of him.
Yep. But I think there's something to be said, and you see it with Canadian goaltenders in this tournament. You go through long stretches without a lot of action, and you get cold, and you get focus is an issue, right? You need to be able to to bury
yep.
Burr down
right
on these sorts of things, right? And so to me, if Prince Albert, which I don't profess to know anything about,
no. I know they're stacked and they're killing it out there. It's not like he's carrying them.
Right. And this is what I'm saying is if they're playing sort of a limiting defensive game,
yeah.
then maybe I may like to start with Scott in the fact that that's closer to what he's going to see
right.
behind this team. Whereas DiPietro may be used to facing a little bit more action, a little bit more all over the place, right? I think that's very important when you move into this tournament for a Canadian goalie.
The other thing that you look at, and I think I tend to agree with you there, is that Mike DiPietro is the far more acrobatic or spectacular goalie,
yeah.
which does two things. First of all, it could suggest that you're more often out of position, but what it says to your coaches, what it says to your defensemen is you're always battling, right? You'll never give up on this. And that means something to your guys.
Marc-Andre Fleury, that's the guy.
That says, I'm doing this, right? I'm here with you and I'm going to give it all I got. Ian Scott is far more quiet in the net. He's a big guy. He's just kind of... So again, that says something to your team. I'm calm. I'm collected, right? Like there's a lot of things
Mark
that...
You're Mark Vizantin kind of guy.
Oof. There's going into this tournament, that's not a comparison I want to... But there's a lot of moving parts there. I think when Canada rotates goaltenders through the tournament, it means it's not going well, right? We've seen the kind of carousel before. That's not a good thing. I think you want to be locked into, this is my guy. They probably both get a game in the round robin, but
your Berniers and your Masons.
Yeah, I want to pick a guy and run with him, right? Like it's,
you know what? And it's so interesting because there's so much hype and so much focus paid to the Canadian goaltending.
Mm-hmm. Besides Santa Claus, the most stressful job in the world this time of year.
Right.
Team Canada's goalie at the World Junior.
If you see, and you and I talked about it a couple weeks ago when they were talking about, and we touched on it last week in a TCS episode on Carter Hart.
Yeah.
And Frank Saravelli saying he may be, Carter Hart, the best goalie to ever come out of the CHL.
Oof.
And I'm like, what are you basing that on?
How do you throw that out already?
Well, this is it. Like,
Carey Price is on line two. Patrick Waugh is on line one.
Martin Brodeur
is on line three. Eddie Bell, four.
I shot you that quote. And and you sent me back, Zach Fucali right. says, what's up?
Yeah.
Right? And it's if you go through it and you look at, and I was on a website today and filtering by wins at a World Junior Tournament by a goaltender,
right.
save percentage, goals against, right? Sort of all these different sort of filters,
yeah.
right, that you can put on it.
Sure.
Other than Marc-Andre Fleury, who sort of is in top 10 in all three categories, wins,
yeah.
goals against, save percentage in this tournament, right? Other than him, there's not a goalie in the top 30 for Canada that's won a Stanley Cup, right?
Wow.
This tournament is loaded with Jeff Glass, Kelly Gard, Justin Poggi, Stefan Fisse, Maxime Ouellette.
Yep.
Steve Masons, Justin Pogies, all these sorts of guys who Manny Legacy
yep.
may not have been ever a better goalie, but a better
Storr.
Tournament. Jamie Storr, Trevor Kidd, like these sorts of guys who killed it over there.
Yeah.
Or wearing a Team Canada jersey. That does not translate. Zach Fucali, Mark Vizantin, like the names go
Olivier Waugh.
You keep going. Luongo,
yep.
good guy.
Sure.
Right. He's up there in the top 20 in most categories.
Yeah.
Jose Theodore.
Yep.
These sorts of things. Stefan Fisse, did I say him already?
Yep.
How about Mathieu Garon? All these kinds of guys where you just keep going studs for Canada.
Right.
Your goalies, yet how many of those guys have started and won a Stanley Cup?
So far, zero.
Craig Billington. How about Craig Billington?
yeah.
Former Ottawa Senators expansion era goaltender.
How was he?
But killed it as a Canadian junior goalie. So to me, if you're basing Carter Hart's World Junior, a silver and a gold medal. Mm-hmm. Nice. And his some nice work in Everett.
Yep.
Man, you can't give these guys anything. There's no guarantees of jack shit. I know I just chucked a lot of shit right
now. Well, yeah. The other thing, like you talk about, you know, best goalies at this tournament and getting wins and whatnot. Like, it's really tough.
Jakob Markstrom, if you want to go to other countries and you go, that guy was a stud.
But fucking Andrei Vasilevsky killing us there just a few years ago.
In Buffalo, yeah. I think.
Like, how do you... Most Canadian goalies, we see a little bit in Europe, but not often. If you're on the team at 18, you're a backup. And maybe you get a game or two. And then you start the next year, right? Like Marc-Andre Fleury is a guy who started for 2 years. Super rare. 2 years ago, when Carter Hart was getting his first run at this, when we were matching up against the Americans in the round robin, they were going with Connor Ingram, right? Like, they weren't sold on anything. Like, it's hard to establish yourself as a goalie in this thing, and apparently coming out of this thing to establish yourself as a number one in the league in the NHL. And that's all I'm saying
is we put huge emphasis on this.
For 2 weeks.
Right.
Get it done, fuckers, that I've never heard of until 2 weeks ago.
Right. And you sort of go, and all I'm saying is specifically when it comes to goaltending, you go, there's no gimmies.
No.
There's no gimmies. Like, you look at some of the better guys, I believe, now correct me if I'm wrong, Martin Jones was the goalie in Saskatoon.
Yep. But again, I think there was a bit of a carousel there. I don't think they were ever totally sold on.
Right.
They kind of struggled through that tournament.
And so you look at guys who've won cups recently, Crawford, never a goalie.
No.
Holtby, never a goalie. Matt Murray.
Nope.
No. Like, to me, all these sorts of guys, you look at it and go, What's the deal?
Right.
Is that because they're not playing on strong enough junior programs to get recognized? Because I think Matt Murray was in Sault Ste. Marie or Sudbury or whatever it was, and he was getting lit up.
I think he was in the Sioux, yeah. Is Carey Price then the best goalie of the last 10, 20 years played for Canada and then
right
had a career?
Yeah. With the goals against and the save percentage, he's always in that. With Marc-Andre Fleury, they're the two guys who are right up there. And while Carey Price has not won a Stanley Cup.
Probably not his fault.
Not his fault at all.
If you remember that team in Lexan, he was so good in that tournament, right? And you know, we had in the opening there, the highlights of Taves scoring three times in the shootout. You got Price at the other end.
Yeah.
Trying to do the job,
and,
right?
And I was looking through some shit today, and do you hear that and go, Peter Mueller? That's the guy?
He shot three times for...
I know, and he
as
was...
As did Jack Johnson.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Kane was on that team.
Yes, he was.
But like, yeah, it was a loaded team, but you're like, Peter Mueller.
Arizona
and Colorado were the two teams.
And then
somewhere in Switzerland.
He is your Angelo Esposito or your...
Rico Fada.
That's exactly the name where I was going next. Your Daniel Tkachuk. Those sorts of guys.
Every year, yes. We talk about these names that have huge... Again, like your goaltenders, for 2 weeks, you're a Canadian hero. And then, I don't know, where... I guess he's in the KHL, or I guess, you know.
Well, Swiss League, usually.
No idea.
Nat Domenichelli, you're over there with those guys.
Have you paid much attention to the adjustment to the hitting rules that are being, or interference rules that are coming in for this tournament?
I have not.
So the IIHF, in general, it's not just for this tournament, but this will be the first tournament where it's enforced, has now a zero tolerance policy for hitting after you've released the puck at all. So in the NHL, they usually give you, and it doesn't sound like much, but they give you about a 0.6 seconds after you've released the puck before it's considered a dirty hit. So puck's gone, you're good. Puck's gone, you're not good, right?
Yeah, because you have the puck or not.
So it's now in the IIHF, zero tolerance. Once the puck is gone, that guy cannot be hit. Unless you've committed to it, which means your shoulder is basically already touching his chest, right?
Like, yep.
We talked as we started this show about the last time this was in Vancouver watching Canadians just run. That was a Steve Downey team. That was
Downey. That's the name I was thinking of.
Ryan O'Mara, right, took a big hard run at a couple of guys, putting people through the boards. And that was always something that Canada kind of had. And we used to be really pissed about it, that anytime that it was a loud hit,
a loud noise,
the refs would call it a penalty. But we got away with intimidating a lot of European kids that had never had to go up against that kind of stuff. And gradually that's been pulled back and it's been pulled back. And this may be the biggest one yet that's going to force both the Canadians and the Americans to really be careful with their hits at this point.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. Now, you know what? Watching that, and it comes to mind really watching the Canada-Switzerland exhibition game.
Right.
There was a Swiss kid. His name is Grouse, something along those lines.
Sure.
He took a couple runs at Comtois.
Yeah, and Comtois took a couple runs at him.
And he just got his lunch fed to him, this Swiss kid, right? Yeah. And you're like, because Comtois, 6'3", 211.
He's a big boy.
As a 19-year-old, he's just, he's out there, and I'm not sure there's too much of that in the Swiss league, right?
No.
Where he's like, I'm gonna take a run at that guy. Bam!
Yeah.
Hey, that wall is moving. Yeah. So to me, it doesn't mean there isn't going to be hitting.
No.
It just
But I
means,
think it is a gradual chip away at one of those things that Canada had that other teams didn't, right?
Yeah, but I think it's less of an issue in a year when we're on small ice.
See, I think it might be more of an issue on a year where we're on small ice, because when we go to Europe, we understand there's going to be less hitting. There's going to be, and when this team was put together, they knew this rule, but this was sort of a thing on small ice that Canada could be really physical with you. And even, you know, going back just a couple of years, to that team in that won in Toronto with McDavid and Duclair and Domi and Reinhardt, there's some highlights of those gold
Curtis
medal
Lazar.
Games. I can't believe I left out Curtis Lazar.
Captain.
Of like Anthony Duclair, like just bang, big hits on the boards, right? Like even McDavid that had no problem throwing his body around a little bit against some of these guys that had never seen that before. And they'll turn the puck over for you when you do that. And if that's going to be limited, I'm not saying it means, oh, Canada doesn't have a chance. I'm just, it is an adjustment for us and the Americans, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it becomes, when you have, and this is what I was saying about small ice, big ice, in a year, if you're going to implement this, when you do force European teams to have that, to have less space outside the dots, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where you are faced, and now if they're going to dump and chase,
right?
Awesome. I don't think that's going to happen, right? Because it's ingrained in them to not do that as puck possession countries.
Yes, that's right.
So
as the whole game shifts that way, but them more than us. Still.
Right. And I'm more inclined to say, yeah, I think that's going to be a little more forgiving as you decrease the space by 20 feet.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I think it was just worth bringing up because it is new. It is an adjustment.
For sure. And I think you will see it play out in an impactful way.
Especially early. Like we're going to run over some Danish kid on Boxing Day and they're not going to love it, right? Like,
well, and this tournament comes down to special teams.
Yeah.
Right? And I think Canada always has that advantage.
So let's get into the Canadian roster a little bit and how they're set up. There's no huge marquee names on this Canadian team. They'll be counting on Maxime Comtois, will be the only returnee after the injury to Alex Formanton. He'll play on a top line, it looks like, at least to start, with Cody Glass and Owen Tippett. Tippett has been lighting it up, just missed the team last year, played a little bit actually in the AHL this year. I'm not quite sure how that happened. It's not normally allowed. But that appears to be kind of
this year or at the end of last year?
Interesting. I believe it said 5 games at the beginning of this year, but I could be wrong on that. Comtois is... You know, he's a big physical guy, and he certainly can score. Cody Glass is killing it in the dub. And Owen Tippett is supposed to be kind of the trigger man on that lineup. But it's not like previous years where you've had these big marquee names. You're going to have Nick Suzuki.
I was just going to say.
Alex Lafreniere is a 17-year-old on the team. Canada doesn't do that often.
A lot of talk, though, that they were going to cut him if they kept Gabe Vilardi.
Gabe Vilardi, with a back injury, was sent back by the Kings and just wasn't able to get healthy in time. And, yeah, he was apparently the guy that was on the bubble if Vilardi would have made it. But, you know, through those pre-tournament games, I think it was Leeson who was battling
Leeson,
injury.
Leeson, the kid from Prince Albert, too, right?
Excuse me, yes.
Who's lighting it up in the dub.
He was battling a bit of an injury, so that Lafreniere was getting a real hard look, and that'll be good for him. But he joins a very select list of Canadian kids at 17 years old who ever get to play for Canada. And you're talking about your Crosbys, your Taveras, your Spezza, your Bomeister, Lindros. It doesn't happen often, and that's quite a list. But those kids often tend to be the 13th forward, right? They maybe get some power play time, and if you're down, maybe you get slotted in somewhere. But you usually don't see them play a ton. Who are you most interested in getting a look at on this Canadian team?
Cody Glass.
Cody Glass, for sure.
Really, I think, is the guy. And I'm interested to see, when you look at the defense group, right? Four of the seven guys, I think it is, six guys. Not a huge group, right?
No.
You got a 6'3" guy, you got a 6'2", a 6'1", and then everybody else is six or under.
Well, and the way they play the game, like, they're not a super physical group, and they're also not really a run-and-gun group. It's kind of this generic, just do everything right, do the little things right. Like, they're not a really explosive or a really physical group.
Bunch of Swiss Army knives.
It's a bit of a hybrid, you know?
Yeah, well, and I know they're looking at Bouchard.
Evan Bouchard, to
bring the shot.
So he played a couple of games for the Oilers, a first-round pick last year of theirs. He appears to be the guy who's going to quarterback that number one power play. And I think, you know, with his NHL experience and what he's already been getting done, I think he is probably, if it's not him, it's Noah Dobson, who's going to be kind of the star defenseman of this group.
Yep.
Yeah.
And really, as I said, to me, it was interesting just in the fact of that size. And as you say, it's in years past, Canada's traditionally trucked out three or four beasts.
Yes.
Right? Big bodies.
Even as recent as last year, I was listening back to our preview show last year. We're kind of going, I don't know about Cal Foote on this team, but he was that guy, right? He was going to be the physical, and not to say he had no offensive upside, but he was the stay-at-home.
Had that sprawling goal save, too, as he flicked the puck off the goal line.
Yeah. We had that pair the year that it was in Ottawa of Jared Cowan and...
Yeah, Cowan wasn't on the Ottawa team. I was just looking at the...
You sure?
They had Myers.
Tyler Myers and Keith Ollie is a couple of guys over 6'6", right?
You
put those guys out on your PK.
What's happened to Keith
Good
Ollie?
Luck, you little Danes. I got to tell you, man, going back to 2010 when the Leafs picked up Dion Phaneuf and Keith Ollie was coming in as part of that deal, I was as excited about Keith Ollie coming as Phaneuf and even like Brian Burke and all kinds of... That's the steal. No one's even talking, but you got this young Keith Ollie coming a year removed from starring at the World...
And what happened? Yeah, like honestly, I was looking at that roster today.
Yeah, up and down from the minors a little bit, eventually off to Tampa, and then, well, probably the Swiss League, as we talked about earlier.
He may be playing with Brian Lee somewhere.
Could be, man. Quite a pair.
Yes.
In the Swiss League?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think Brian Lee's playing at all.
Okay. Selling cars out in Canada somewhere.
Yeah, or selling something. I heard him on the...
Oh no!
Yeah, no, he's not. He's now back coaching in some capacity.
Doing post game shows.
In the USHL, but no, he left here and went to Tampa, and then that was it. Honestly, he was done. Knee problems, but
as you say, we like to normally have a couple of big physical guys, even on one pair as your third pair kind of thing. And again, as the game changes, we've kind of gotten away from that a little bit. And these guys, a lot of them, all very similar. Like Josh Brook kind of fits into that. McIsaac, I think, is the other name I'm thinking of. Like this is a fairly, you know, not flashy.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. And I was looking at, when you look at that defensive group and the 09 squad I'm talking about,
right,
that you were touching on, sorry, and I know you're sort of...
That's okay.
When you look at that group had, in the defensive group, Ryan Ellis, Tyler Myers, Alex Petrangelo,
PK Subban,
Thomas Hickey, and you go, that's a loaded decor.
Honestly, man.
In terms of, and now Hickey is, yeah, he's around. I think he's still with the Islanders.
I believe so, yeah.
But what a stacked defensive core.
Honestly.
And when you look up.
All those guys made it.
And you look up front, and that team had Jamie Benn, Jordan Eberle, Tyler Ennis.
John Tavares.
I don't know who that guy is.
Cody Hodson.
Yeah. Cody Hodson, yeah, John Tavares. Who do you, Zach Boychuk.
Yeah, follows us on Instagram and Twitter.
Seriously?
Yep.
Peace.
He follows everybody.
Who do you think wore the letters on that team? Just a guess. Clearly, it's out of the blue. But
is Cody Hodson the captain?
Cody Hodson is not the captain, but he did wear a letter.
Okay. John Tavares would have been too young at that point to wear a letter.
Warren A.
Okay. The C then.
So A's on Hodgson, Tavares, Zach Boychuk, and PK Subban.
That's a lot of A's.
That's a lot of A's.
Pat Quinn, just chill, man. Probably handed out a couple, forgot that he'd done it, gave a couple more.
Yeah.
I don't know then who were the C.
Assistant coach Guy Boucher.
Okay. That's an eclectic group of coaches.
Running the power play. Oof.
The PK, hey, I got time for.
Hey, that power play was
I know, man.
40% or whatever it was. Who was the captain on that team was Thomas Hickey.
Of course it was.
As it is.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Now and again.
Yeah.
So sorry. It just, I was fascinated by that, right? In terms of when you look at the hype when at the junior age and how that sort of pans out moving forward, and you go, these are the expectations we had of you at that point, and you go, this is.
Well, it's so interesting for how many of these guys this will be, and you just listed off a defense corps that all basically made it. Right, like
right. Now there was a guy I didn't list on here, but I'm like, who's that guy?
Yeah, he's not going to help my point. I'm casting him out.
But I've given you five defensemen.
Right. For so many of these guys, this will be as big as it gets. Right, playing in front of 20,000 rabid Canadians at GM or Rogers Arena, whatever the fuck it is now in Vancouver.
Yeah,
this will be the pinnacle, and there's a lot of these guys that will go on and have good NHL careers. But this is so big. Like, you start to think of, you know, Steve Downey made the league, but he was never again, you know, Jordan Tutu, Stefan Legion, right? Like, some of these, you know, we always give the Rico Fata and Daniel Tkachuk.
Yeah, Tutu was huge in 03.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, right? Like, for so many of these guys, these will become heroes for 2 weeks, and the names you'll remember as World Juniors guys that never really had an impact in the NHL. This is a big deal for so many of these kids, and it's so much fun to watch, man. Like,
so the composition of this year's team, have you taken a look at that? I'm always fascinated by the composition, right? Especially when you have a Western League coach coaching, or you have a Q coach in, right? Yeah, have you looked at that at all? Do you have any idea?
I did see it a couple of days ago. I don't remember now. It was W dominated, wasn't it?
No, I believe it's 9-6-5 Ontario Western.
I love that.
Quebec. Yeah, I think it's almost half Ontario players.
Barrett Hayden and Morgan Frost out of the Sioux. A lot of people are like, that's going to be awesome. They're going to have this great chemistry, except they're both centers who don't play on the same line together, right? Like, we kind of get these.
But we can go rip beers later.
Sure. Morgan Frost is the son of Andy Frost.
Oh, okay.
Former, now, you won't love this, but Leafs talk host and the voice in the arena, right? Maple Leafs goal scored. But
yeah.
But we talked about him on Audio Whiplash earlier this year as he left Q107 Psychedelic Sunday. Had hosted that show for like 30 years on the Q. So his kid, Morgan Frost, a first round pick of the Flyers, is on this Canadian team, plays for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. Expected to be one of the offensive contributors, right? Like he'll play on the power play and put up a pile of goals for the Sioux. So if you're looking for names to kind of follow, for those of you in the Toronto area that know Andy Frost, his kid on this team, which is kind of an interesting. Noah Dobson, for me, is a guy I think is going to end up. I think Evan Bouchard is your offensive defenseman. I think he's going to be great on the power play. I think he's going to put up a ton of points. I have a feeling you're going to see Noah Dobson as kind of the shutdown guy. You would call it a second pair if you want to. You can shuffle those however you want. But Canada's real strong on the right side with both Bouchard and Dobson, and I'm looking forward to watching.
Well, him. And I think that the third guy on that side was it's Mitchell, I think.
Yes, Ian Mitchell.
And I was interested, and I sort of was following that because Jacob Bernard Docker, the other Sens draft pick, he's playing for the University of North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
He was there, and he's also a right D. And
didn't make it though, right?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No, and that's what I'm saying is early on. They were saying the hype was at that point, yeah, Bernard Docker's having a great season.
Yeah.
As a freshman at North Dakota, which is a bit of a defenseman factory.
Yes.
But he was
like
in
Kelowna used to be.
He was in tough here due to the fact that you had already had Bouchard, Dobson, and then this Mitchell who I
don't know very much about at all.
I knew nothing about. And I'm like, well, he can't be as good as our guy. Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. Well, I'm having
somebody else feels that's the case.
Right. I'm having that thing too, right? I'm trying not to be the Ian Scott.
Yeah.
The Leafs fourth rounder. We obviously knew he would dominate. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, with his glowing stats from last year.
Yeah, that's as they drafted him at like an 880 save percent. That's a terrible pick.
Yeah, well, it's a fourth round pick. Yeah,
exactly.
Just, so you kind of go
throwing shit at the wall.
Yeah, you know what? That's how that goes.
In terms of non-Canadians, I guess we touched on the Hughes brothers and the Americans. Anybody else of interest to you that you're interested in getting a look at around the tournament?
I think right away, for sure, Josh Norris.
Yes.
Sorry, who came over in the Carlson trade.
Okay.
Center for Team USA.
Yep.
So he sends prospect. I was looking forward to seeing Alex Formanton.
Yeah.
Not happening. And I think the rest of Canada was also looking forward to...
It's a bit of a speedster.
To seeing him.
Scored the empty net goal to seal the gold medal game last year.
Yeah. Really, I think, interestingly enough, that this is a year where every year Canadians lament the fact that we have X number of guys in the NHL who aren't being loaned back to us.
Right.
And you look, now we are not. Like, I know the Finns are missing a ton of guys. Four guys, I think.
I looked at their roster today. And, I mean, what do I know about Finnish juniors? But normally I recognize a couple of names from the draft or something. I look at that roster, I got no idea. I have no idea who any of those kids are.
Well, the Chicago just sent back...
Kara.
Yuki Yokohara.
Yeah, that's right.
Who sounds more Japanese.
Yeah, I was just going to say, but I figured I'd let you do it.
Yokohara!
I'm very interested in the Swedish defense, which they've got Brännström, who's one of the top-rated defensive prospects in the league. With he's a Vegas pick. Rasmus Sandin, of course, from the Leafs, who's kind of been the shiny new toy in Toronto that's kind of overshadowed Liljegren a little bit. Liljegren is not playing in the tournament. He's got a high ankle sprain. I was looking at their roster. They don't have Adam Boqvist, who I was sure they would. I don't know if he's hurt or did he get loaned back.
I haven't seen that.
But like that Swedish defense, as it seems to be every year, right? Like the Swedes are just this factory for top-end defensemen right now. I didn't recognize a ton of their forwards, but I'll be interested to watch that defense.
That's the Nick Lidstrom effect, right?
I guess so, man.
Lidstrom in through Hedman and Carlson, and as you just keep Ekholm, and it just keeps going and going and going, right? Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Philip Zadina, that's where he kind of made his name last year, was at the World Junior. He kind of carried that Czech team on his back.
Eight goals.
Yeah. So he gets loaned back from Grand Rapids to the Czech team. I'll be really interested to see, you know, what he's going to do. You know, I don't know a ton about this Russian group, right? They always kind of, they show up and they're either killer or they're kind of disappointing. In the last couple of years, there hasn't been.
That's where you get your Panarins and your Kucherovs who you go, I don't know too much about those guys.
Right.
Oh, wait, they're good.
But it's been a long time since we've seen, like, we knew Malkin was going to dominate the tournament. We knew Ovechkin was going to dominate the tournament, right? Like
Kovalchuk.
Yeah. Kovalchuk riding his stick after scoring an empty net
goal. In Winnipeg,
Fuck you, buddy.
Go fuck yourself.
I hope you end up in L.A. at 35.
Well, and you look at when Quebec City and Halifax hosted Worlds, he torched Canada too.
Yep.
He's got a bit of a, you know.
Fucking guy.
Yeah, fucking guy. Fuck you.
I was listening to, I've mentioned it before, the Pulp Hockey podcast, which is Ray Ferraro's. And he's talking about, I think it was his first experience at World Championships, which was like 91. And he said, I got over there and he's like, you know, we didn't have a great year. So I figured I will, you know, go and do this. And he said, I'm on the fourth line with Kirk Muller. Like, he's like, I don't remember who else was on that team, but I wasn't that bad, was I? And Kirk Muller, like, we must have had a good team. He said, but we played the Russians. He said, and they had brought a very good team, as they still did in the early 90s, right? They were still kind of on the fumes of the Soviet thing.
Yep.
He said, so we're matched up in a game against the Russians with their fourth line, which at the time they told us, it was four teenagers, don't worry about it. And it was the line we always talk about as torching the World Juniors. As he said, they cruised past us all of the time. Me and Kirk Muller, Ferraro, just looking at each other like, we've both got like 40 goal seasons behind us. But
having a couple of beers over here, wherever we are in
these
Vienna.
Are just blowing past them.
Yeah. It's and Ray Ferraro never played in the world juniors.
No.
Despite the fact, and it's going to sound like hyperbole, but I think he scored 80 goals in Brandon.
You're right. So he dominated. And at the time, he was the highest scoring Canadian to ever not make the World Junior team as a 90.
Is that a feather in your cap or not?
So we added it to the opening this year. Tyler Steenbergen last year for Team Canada had 86 goals in his last 99 CHL games.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And he became the 13th forward, couldn't play, couldn't get into the lineup. And there was all kinds of talk from Ray, even on commentary, that like, I feel this kid, right? Like, at least he made it, but he's not playing. Yeah. So through that whole tournament last year, I'm going to my dad. I'm talking to him as we're watching the games. And I'm like, this Steenbergen kid, he's going to do something. He's like, well, what do you know? But I'm like, not much. But so he plays 3 minutes in the first two periods of the gold medal game. And somehow, as you heard in the highlights in the open, it's Connor Timmins who puts it towards the net late in the third when Steenbergen just happens to be on the ice to tap it home and give Canada the 2-1 lead late against the Swedes. And I'm texting my dad, I told you it'd be Steenbergen. I fucking told you.
See what I said?
86 goals in 99 games in the dub for that kid. But yeah, that up until him last year, Ray Ferraro had been the highest scoring CHL player to not make a team game.
And he was crazy good in junior. Crazy good. Yeah. Now, he had a good career.
Sure.
Ray Ferraro, right? Yep. Had a bunch of stops in a bunch of forgettable places.
Hartford Islanders
post-dynasty and that sort of stuff. And you sort of go, sorry about that,
Al Arbor's still here, but nobody else is.
Yes. Me.
Yeah.
This is it. And at a time when being a little guy, which Ray's not huge, right?
He said he left the Isles to sign with the Rangers in the 93-94 season, I think it was. And they traded him 2 months into the season because he wasn't big enough. He's like, I'm the same fucking size I was when you signed me, you fucker.
See, that's honestly, that's.
And then they won the cup and he was in LA.
Did you just sign me? And then you looked at me and went, holy fuck, you small, man. I get rid of that guy. Who signed Ferraro?
He's awesome. He'll be doing color with Gord Miller. I think he's probably the best.
I like him because he's the most brutally honest.
Yes, he is. I always ask you this before the tournament starts, going into it, where's your interest level on a 1 to 10 as we start this?
A solid 7.5.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is 0.5 higher than last year.
Thank you. Thank you.
Rob is stoked.
I always watch and sure, I'm always interested and I think I'm slightly higher than last year.
Yep.
Let's give it an 8.
Oh.
Let's give it an 8.
Bumping it right up there.
Look at this. The eggnog is kicking in.
Nice.
Where are the sleigh bells, man? We do not normally have sleigh bells here. Have I just woken up and
put your pants on?
Jesus Christ, man. What's happening
What's
here?
What's in that eggnog over there?
I love an eggnog, man. It's creamy. It makes me feel a little bloated and heavy.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do feel a little red-faced from the rum. It's good, man. I'm interested. I think it's a down year.
Last year we said that too.
I know. No, I mean a down year in terms of star quality.
Yep.
But yeah, this is a Canadian
only
team
one
with
returnee.
Yeah, just Comtois, right?
And yep.
I think, but there's still lots of quality, right?
Oh yeah.
And we just ran through a couple, and the names surprise you when you start to hear them, right? And
yep.
You start to go, okay, I know that name.
Guy. Yep.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
I know that guy, and you're like, okay. And then the guys you don't know, the Ian Scotts, the Leesons, these sorts of guys, right? And you
Barrett
sort of go,
Hayden, yeah.
Well, Barrett Hayden, at least you knew because he's the guy who so far is in the last summer's draft. You go, what are you doing there? That's odd, but good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested to see how the whole thing shakes loose. I think the Russians are gonna be annoyingly good, and I think that's the team that.
Well, it's first on our hit list.
Yeah. Yeah, and
you know,
I think
any consequence.
I think due to the fact that the Americans also could, they're missing guys too. Brady Tkachuk could have went back.
Yep,
he's not there.
They got a couple who.
Yeah, and I can't think of the other one right now, so we're not going to mention it.
Okay,
we're just going to keep moving right along.
That's what we do.
Yep. I'm thinking, yeah, the gold medal comes out of Canada's division.
Really love that because the heavy division is on the other side. Maybe they. I was going to say beat each other up, but the Swede-Finland game, they're not overly physical.
I think the Finns are missing four guys.
Well, what really happens, like, you think, okay, we're in the easy pool, but let's say you lose the New Year's Eve game to Russia. Your 2-3 is now way tougher than the 2-3 on the other side, right? Like, you're going to get stuck with the Swedes or the Finns, probably.
Yeah, and I don't think that's as big a deal this year. I think Canada and Russia, I think, are the two best teams in this tournament.
Really? I think you're more sold on the Russians than I am, just because I don't know any fucking thing about them.
And neither do I.
Yeah.
Right? I always watch the...
You're always the wild
I always
card.
Watch their series when they come through...
The Subway... Used to be the Subway series.
Yeah. But the CHL series, right, where they come through and they play the two in the West, two in Ontario, two. To me, you always go... And they're doing the same thing, right? They're mixing guys in, they're mixing guys out.
That's right.
Their goaltending looked better than I anticipated. And they're always better.
Yeah.
They're always, I just think they're going to show up here and they're going to do Russian things.
Hopefully they have implanted in them what happened to the Russians the last time they were in Vancouver for this tournament or for an Olympics for that matter. Vancouver has not been kind to Russia.
Okay.
I'm
good with that continuing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, my man. As we wind this one down then, I think for me, the Swedes continue. I think they're at like 33 games undefeated in the round robin, but with only one gold medal in that time. That'll be a fascinating thing to look at. To me, if I'm them, I'm almost cool with a round robin loss to get that thing to go away. And now you can go into... you know, a gold medal game without that on your back, right? Because they've played in a pile of gold medal games lately and they just don't win them, but they dominate the round robin. It's so strange.
Based on nothing, I think the Swedes finished third in that division over there.
Wow. I feel like it's the Finns that are taking a step back this year. They've sort of been up and down. 2 years ago, they fired their coaching staff in the middle of the tournament. The Americans, they're just getting better and better as we keep doing this thing. I think they're probably winning that pool.
I think the Swedes are having a hard time scoring. I think, and that's my understanding from those in the know.
Okay,
right? Is scoring maybe
killer
an issue?
D?
Scoring maybe in a bit of an issue there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this is the year that they take a bit of a hit and they do lose a game in the round robin. So look for that.
I think that's about it. As I said, we are just 2 days away from the start of this. Thank you for joining us on your Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas to you over there, Matt.
Merry Christmas to you over there.
Awesome.
And to all the good listeners.
Absolutely. This is probably my favorite show every year to do as we head into my favorite sporting event of the year. And it's pretty cool that it's catching on. It's becoming a thing for so many of our listeners to look forward to it. As I said, whether you're wrapping gifts, whether you're traveling, whether you're just trying to avoid the in-laws, we get it. We're happy to spend a little time with you on your Christmas Eve.
Take a little break from your porn on your phone while you're in the bathroom. You can listen to us.
Or listen to us over your porn. Be like double the pleasure.
Yeesh.
Yeah, whatever you people got to do, man. Get through Christmas Eve. Yeah, well, it's a little different for everybody.
Fetishes all around. Sure, do what you do.
Yeah. We'll wind this one down. Merry Christmas to all of you. Enjoy the tournament, and we will talk to you all next week. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.